When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Dad and The Ugly, the fatherhood podcast. I'm Seth, a new dad, and on each episode you'll hear me and my good pal Jamie.
Hello.
Also a new dad, as we chat with our special guest each month about everything that comes with modern day fatherhood. Along the way, you'll also get the latest highs and lows and thrills and spills as Jamie and I foray further into these unfamiliar, joyful and often choppy waters.
Choppy waters.
Choppy waters.
Choppy waters.
Choppy waters.
Choppy waters.
Choppy waters. Hi everyone, this podcast is a bit of an unusual one in that we don't have a guest. It's just me and Jamie in the studio. It's in two parts. So the first part is the waiting game, essentially. Jamie and Nat waiting for the baby to arrive. At the point we recorded, it was already 10 days, I think, past the due date. And then in the second part, it's after it's all happened. So we're going to hear the birth story. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of The Good, The Dad and The Ugly. I'm here with Jamie.
Hello.
And of course, it's Seth, in case you didn't realise. This episode is actually a little bit touch and go, because if you remember from the last episode with Matt Willis, we said at the top of that the next time we recorded this, Jamie would be with child. No,
yeah.
Hang on. That's not the term.
I think you say with child.
With child means like a woman who's actually carrying a child.
Pregnant,
right.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be with child.
The male equivalent of being with child. He'd actually have a child.
Next to child.
Well, that's what we expected, because the due date was 10 days ago.
10 days ago.
But
No sign.
On the other hand, Tom, our producer, has now got a second baby.
And he was due a few days, like a week after we were due.
Yeah, so they were slightly early, weren't they?
Yeah, like a day early.
A day early.
Yeah, he beat us, basically.
So the competition, Jamie's lost once again.
So we didn't think we'd do this, but then, because we thought we'd be tied up with baby duties, and I'm really not. I'm just kind of twiddling my thumbs, waiting for...
Because you'd planned all this time, like you'd sort of told work, obviously, when the due date was, so they'd planned for you not to be on too many schedules.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite ridiculous, actually. It's lucky that I have been at work, because there's been stuff to do, but my schedule was cleared completely to not do any work. And so, do you know what it is? It's just annoying, because we've done so many of these like last things, and it's one of those where like we went for a meal and that was our due date eve.
We went for our last
nice meal together and doing all that kind of stuff. And I played my last round of golf for a while and I happened to play really well, which made me kind of go, I just want to play more now. But I've kind of gone, no, I can't. And I've said goodbye to work two Fridays in a row now. Like, oh, this is my last. And then Monday I come in like, nope, still nothing. And everyone's like, and it's got to that stage now where people are texting. I've been, people texting saying, where's the, any signs of the baby? And we've had to go, no signs. Now I'm getting texts and I'm thinking, there's people blatantly asking where the baby is, and they're not. And I'm getting annoyed and I'm going like, people are bored. People have lost interest in our whole babies. They're just like, oh, for fuck's sake, just tell us when, just let us know, sort of thing. And we're like, oh, right, okay, the excitement. And everyone's having babies before us. Nat, my girlfriend, when we got the news that Tom had had his second child, she was asleep, and I saw it come through on like a group WhatsApp message, and I had to say to everyone, can we all kind of hold this down? Because when Nat wakes up, and no joke, Nat woke up and I went, hey, so got some news. Tom and Carla have had their baby. And she was like, amazing. Oh, really? How do you know? I said, it's on WhatsApp. She was like, brilliant. That lasted, no joke, 5 seconds. And then the next thing was like, well, isn't that just fucking typical? I walked out the room. I got a message from her the other day saying, you'll never guess what's fucking happened. I was like, what? She went, Binky from Made in Chelsea has had her baby before us. I can't.
Bloody Binky.
Binky. And then she'll just turn to me every now and then and just go, fucking Binky. I'm like, what does it matter? She's like, oh, it matters. It matters. So, yeah. So it's all these things that I kind of like didn't really kind of think that would, you know, would matter, but started to kind of, yeah.
It started to grow. I mean, because it is one of the reasons why we thought we would do this recording is because it is actually quite a kind of funny, like sort of awkward time that people commonly go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we thought it would be worth just chatting about, because we had a little bit of that when we had Eliza.
Yeah.
She was overdue only by like a few days. Like actually their estimate for the due date was pretty spot on.
Yeah.
But the thing that made us sort of get into that kind of headspace of being like, when's it going to happen? Was because Alice had been to the midwife a few times over the last few weeks, and the midwife had consistently said that the baby didn't really look close to coming.
Yeah.
You know, hadn't engaged properly and all that kind of stuff. So we were pretty convinced, and she didn't look like that big as well. Like, you know, you see some women who are pregnant and they look literally like they're about to blow.
Yeah.
And she didn't really look like. So we were like, yeah, this isn't going to happen for weeks.
Yeah.
We were convinced. In the end, she arrived on the 23rd of December. We thought it was possibly going to be January.
Really? We had that. We had the same thing. I remember talking to you about it. We said that, you know, Nat went to, you know, you kind of go to the midwife and you can try and get things to kick it off. Like they have a membrane sweep, which is, you know, which, I mean, respect to any woman who has been through that, because it just sounds fucking horrific. Like, I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail.
But I mean, it's not a very kind of like complex procedure, is it?
No, they're basically just they're getting up in there.
They're just getting up in there and literally like,
it's like
scraping their fingers around.
I mean, it's tantamount to fisting, I think. Like,
yeah.
Like it is proper, like going in. So I think, Nat attempted to have that with the midwife, but they said, no, look, you're nowhere near. And this was like, you know, the Monday after our due date. She had this and they basically said, no, you're not even, you know, apparently they said, do you want me to have another go? And I was like, nope, you're fine. And she's like, yeah, oh, that's my phone. Sorry, I've got my phone on because... for obvious reasons. You never know. I could be called away at any moment. But yeah, and so they said, yeah, you're not even close. So this is where... So, you know, it's already a few days overdue. So we're thinking, well, you know, this could be forever now. And as you said, Nat's not at all looking big. Like, she doesn't look like a heavily pregnant woman. She looks pregnant, but like not massively pregnant. So we've started to think maybe we got our dates wrong. Like maybe, you know, we're actually at like only 32 weeks.
Well, I mean, that's unlikely.
Yeah.
But they do obviously, I think they estimate the due date on like just the size of the fetus, right? At the start?
No, I thought that they estimated it on they go from your last like menstrual cycle, like the woman's last menstrual, and they work that out, and they work it like that. So it's always a couple of weeks.
Like. That's definitely like the sort of. I'm pretty sure that that's what they do in the first instance.
Yeah.
But I think
when they start measuring,
Someone told me that like they had their due date like reevaluated.
Yeah. Right.
Because when they'd given them the date of their last period or whatever, and they worked it out, and then when they went in for the scan, they were like, the baby's actually bigger than we expect, so we're actually gonna bring the due date forward.
Right. No, they didn't.
It's not going to be that far out, though.
Well, they say in France, they full term is considered like 42 weeks.
Right.
Because they say, you know, there's that margin of error, and a lot of babies are sort of like a week to 2 weeks late.
Right, yeah.
But when we heard friends were 10 days late before, I was just like, bloody hell. Like, no way. No, not going through that. And now here we are 10 days late. Nat has since had another sweep, and that seemed to do something, which is good, which shows there's progress. But we're just waiting now. It's just one of those where we're just like sitting here waiting.
That's it. That's what's so frustrating. Because you, like you say, you do all these things. You're like, oh, we're going to do our last ever this. You're the last ever that.
Yeah.
And then you're just in a constant state of like being on high alert.
Mate, I went to a birthday party the other day and that didn't come. And I just had my hand in my pocket holding my phone the whole time I was there, just waiting for a phone call. And it is bad because you're just kind of like, I think it was like the day before our due date, I finally kind of thought to myself, okay, wicked, let's do this. Like, I've always been up for it, like, don't get me wrong, but it was that moment where it kind of clicked and I went, wicked, I'm now like 100%, yes, let's go, ready, bang, let's do this. And then it's just been this like,
As you say.
And now like, I'm just like, oh, for fuck, I'm over it. I'm a little bit over it. Like, when this baby comes, I'm like, sweet, wicked, let's go home, come on.
Yeah, no, you definitely won't.
No, I know. There. Probably not. But
I bet the other thing that's happened is you've got loads of... I mean, I know I've already done it. Like, given people giving you advice about what you should expect.
Yeah, and not just expect, but how to bring on labour.
Yeah.
Like, oh, mate, you got to eat curry. You got to get... Yeah, done that like five times. Oh, yeah, but did you put pineapple in it? Yeah. We've been eating pineapple like for every... I bought like three
raspberry leaf tea.
Standard every single morning. Like a Clarice Sage... Or no, what is it?
And it was Clary Sage
bath, and all of these, you look them up and they're all complete bollocks. Like, everyone says there is nothing, that it's all old wives tales.
Our NCT instructor, whatever you call them, she told us to be careful of Clary Sage, or Clary Sage, I don't know. She was like, it's really powerful, don't use it before until after you're like 39 weeks, because it's really powerful, it will induce the baby straight away.
Is it bollocks? I'm telling you that now,
right?
It's done nothing. And like everything, like everyone's like, all right, you know what you'll do. And that's bollocks as well. Nat found out that it basically is when the baby's lungs are fully formed, it releases some sort of, you know, hormone which brings on labor, basically.
Right,
and that is it. And that could take, you know, you're not going to, you can't rush that. Do you know what I mean? But it's just, as my mate said to me the other day, he said, well, your baby's probably just like really chilled in there and having a nice time, or just terrified of your booming voice. It doesn't want to come out.
That's also true.
If you told me that like a day overdue, I'd have been like, yeah, whatever, bollocks. Now, 10 days overdue, I'm like being really kind of like quite quiet around it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done everything. We've tried like, you know, we played music to it, like strapped headphones and that. And this was actually quite cool. Played like Metallica to it, like at full volume, and it went nuts. Like, it went absolutely crazy. And then it would settle down towards the end of the tune and I'd put on some Jay-Z and it would go crazy again. It was like recognizing the different types of music. So I think basically it's going to be a music superstar. So that's a bonus, I guess. But we've been doing everything. We've been doing like... The thing we've now trying to do is to jinx it out of us, Nat, which by doing things that like and kind of Nat going...
Like going on a really long walk in like the outback.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have the outback here, but...
Hampstead.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we've been going to like, you know, we got invited for lunch the other day and we're like, oh, should we go? Well, it is a nice restaurant, so... That would be a really awkward place for your waters to break. So let's definitely do it. So we'd go there and like Nat thought today, she was like, I'm going to go get my eyelashes done so that it would be really awkward if my waters broke on the table. So that's definitely going to happen. So we've been like jinxing it with things like that. And even me...
That's actually a really good idea.
Even me saying I'll do this recording tonight is me kind of half jinxing
it.
It's like tempting fate.
Yeah, you were a little bit kind of unsure about it. I know why.
Yeah, now I've kind of decided, if it's ever going to happen... It's going to happen when I'm...
Actually, shit, your phone's ringing now.
Hey, imagine if it was. I kind of feel also, like, going back to... We could have snuck more stuff in for, like, the last time. Like, we could have gone on, like, last ever roller coaster ride and things like that, but...
You're not really allowed to go on roller coasters.
No, but I could have done
it. Oh, yeah, you could have done that, yeah.
Not that I can't after the baby's born, but still, I'm going to find my time limited to do kind of things like that, but...
But normally you go on roller coasters every day.
Exactly. Talking of waters breaking, Nat thought her waters are broken sort of about 2 days before our due date, or I think maybe a week before our due date. So she went to the midwife and it turned out she just pissed herself.
Are you really?
Yeah, seriously, yeah. She was telling me, she was like, I think, and then she came back and she went, it wasn't my waters, bro. It was just, I'd pissed myself and I never want to talk about it again. I did clear that I could mention this on the podcast, and she said, yeah, it's funny, so it's fine. The other thing that I'm kind of a bit annoyed about, and I think we're both a little bit, you know, a bit, we don't really, I mean, inducing isn't the end of, I mean, you know, it's a lot of people are induced and it's fine and it's great, but I just kind of had that idea in my head that it would be that thing, I'd get a phone call and I'd have to come running back and we'd grab the bags and go up to the hospital and it'd be like, ah, whereas now we're, you know, tomorrow we go in to be induced, so it's like,
so it, oh right, okay,
yeah.
But they're gonna give Nat a drug basically, yeah. to try and kickstart it. That I think that basically will work, won't it? Because I'm pretty sure it just kind of forces your body to like go through the contractions.
I guess so. I mean, that's now after having her last appointment, her last sweep, they said she's 1 centimeter dilated.
Right.
Which is nothing, but it's something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's more than we were. So going in tomorrow. So today is my last day at work.
Okay.
And I've said goodbye. But literally, as I was saying goodbye to people, people are just like, oh, I've said goodbye to you a million times. Like, no one's psyched about it anymore. And whatever. Not that it's a big deal, but it's a bit of a big deal. But yeah, other things people are doing, which is kind of winding us up, and I'm sure everyone gets this. It's not winding us up, because it's very sweet and it's very lovely, but it's just, you know, when you're in that mode where you're just like, offer, you know, is people, especially members of family who shall remain nameless, have been kind of every single day, like a few times a day, phoning up and going, any news? And we're like, no, we said we'd call you, we'd text you as soon as we found anything. Okay, just checking in, just, you know, just let me know. We're like, yeah, we said we'd let you know, fine. And then 3 hours later, any news? No, we said we'd let you know. And that's kind of draining, because now we're just like not replying. It's just like, oh, we'll let them think we're in labor, you know, in the hospital or whatever. And other people, friends, you know, giving advice and you know, asking whether it's got, I mean, you don't go on WhatsApp for 20 minutes and people think you're in the hospital. It's crazy.
Well, I went onto our Instagram account a couple of days ago, I think it was.
Yeah.
And we were woken up really early by Eliza about like 10 to 6 or something. Mm. And I kind of just like picked up my phone and I just checked, because I think it was not long after our last episode went out, and I was wondering if we'd had any more followers.
Yeah.
And I noticed. I noticed that we'd had a few comments and things like that, but they weren't showing up as kind of the little notifications.
Oh, right.
I didn't get the red dots.
Oh.
And so I was like, that means someone else has already seen them. And then I was like, it must be Jamie, and he must be therefore up really early.
Yeah.
And I was like, the only reason he'd be up this early is if they're going to the hospital.
Yeah, that's good detective work.
So I said to Alice, it's happening.
Well, at least you didn't phone me and go, or text me going, any news?
I have done that a couple of times.
Yeah, but that's fine when it's like 3 days apart or whatever. That's cool. But it's just like when it's like 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's a bit
half
stupid.
An hour apart. But so yeah, so here we are in limbo land a little bit. And I'm sure hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people go through it all the time. But it's a weird one, because I just totally expected it to happen, and it like happened on time. I don't know why. I just didn't think we'd go this long and need to be induced, I guess. But it's also Nat's, obviously, from Nat's point of view, like, whatever, it doesn't really change. Just for me, just getting a bit fed up. Nat is going through, like, she's just massively uncomfortable, not really sleeping. Your hormones, she's just, as I said, she's just fed up. And I totally get that. It must be, but you know what? I'll never understand that. And that's fucking great. I'm happy about this. I don't ever want to experience childbirth. It seems like a fucking ordeal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. I'm lucky enough that I'll never have to experience it myself, but I've certainly seen it, and it is pretty rough. And Alice's birthing story wasn't even that bad compared to some of the ones I've heard, but it's still very painful.
Yeah. Oh, so much. Well, so much respect, you know, to all women who go through childbirth, but the actual labor and the childbirth itself is one thing. But then there's you take the 9 months leading up to it of like complete body change, all your hormones changing, you know, so many like different things going on, which are like alien to you. You don't feel yourself. It's crazy, really. Yeah. And then it's kind of like, and then it ends with this like ridiculous amount of pain.
I think there are probably parts in that 9 months that are quite pleasant.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's definitely, I think there are periods where, you know, you get these kind of endorphins and stuff, or positive kind of hormones or whatever, making you feel like really happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, then there's also the shitty, the shitty hormones as well.
Yeah, that's it. But I'm just, we just now just want this baby out, really. But there's nothing I can do to kind of, when she says, I'm really uncomfortable, I can, you know, massage, whatever, but it's I can't get the baby out. Like, no, so what do I do? But tomorrow we should know more.
Tomorrow's the day.
Tomorrow could be the day.
What time are you getting induced?
9 o'clock.
Okay.
So it's...
I think...
Don't give me an estimation.
You've heard too many probably predictions, whatever.
So many people.
But surely, by the end of the day.
Yeah, you'd think. But apparently only 5% of babies come on their due date anyway. So, you know, that, which I thought was quite a high amount. But then we worked it out, didn't we? And that's kind of about right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Percentages-wise. Yeah. But,
yeah, we crunched the numbers. Yeah. Put our heads together. Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, I don't want to keep you too much longer because, you know, the baby's probably going to pop out this evening.
Well, Nat's already phoned me 3 times during this, but I've ignored it, so I'm sure everything's fine. But so she probably should return one of those calls.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only thing that is probably left to say is, you know, thanks everybody for continuing to kind of listen and download. Please, 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 when you get the chance, rate and review. That really helps us kind of get the podcast out there to more people.
Yeah.
And obviously follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Good Dad Ugly.
Simple.
Simple. Actually, talking about the Twitter and Instagram stuff, we actually got someone, one of our listeners, tweeted us to say that they were listening to the last episode.
We have a listener.
We had a listener.
A listener, yes.
Yeah. And they were laughing out loud at the, you know, I'm worried my child will be a dickhead conversation, which Jamie was worried about in our last episode.
Yeah.
Because they had the same thing before their kid was born.
So I'm completely validated in my worries that my child might be a dickhead.
Yeah.
Amazing. Definitely. Yes.
Yeah, this is obviously a thing that people think about.
I knew it's not just me who thinks of this kind of stuff. There is definite worry that your child just might not be the kind of kid you'd want to, like, be friends with, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that now.
And so...
I can see that now.
Okay, what's his... Who tweeted that?
So that's Andrew Neil.
Andrew Neil.
At Neil_Andrew.
Yes, I'm with you, brother.
Thanks, Andrew.
I'm with you. Wait, hang on. What?
It's not the Andrew Neil from...
No.
Daily Politics.
No. Okay, but I was going to ask. I assume that, to be honest with you, but I didn't think this would be kind of... I thought our podcast might be a bit too highbrow for him, so... I was going to ask, do we know if his child is a dickhead or not?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because...
Andrew, if you're listening to this one, tweet us again and tell us, you know, the outcome of the child.
We should start a poll. Is your child a dickhead? For anyone out there who thinks their child is a dickhead, tweet us at Good Dad Ugly and let us know. Name and shame your child.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then next time, I will be a dad. Dad. Dad.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to part 2 of this special birth episode of The Good, The Dad and The Ugly. Jamie is now a dad.
I am. Yes. quite a different feeling. Actually, to be honest, it's not. I don't feel all that different.
Yeah, I was kind of the same.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Because I had much more of a leading up to it. Had much more of like looking in the mirror kind of going, you're going to be a dad. Oh my God, everything's going to change. You're going to be a dad. And then it comes and yeah, you know, it's emotional. But now I'm just kind of like, okay, cool. And you just kind of rolling with the punches a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you're just more evidence of the sort of general kind of adaptability of human beings, I think. Because things seem, in theory, like these massive changes, but when you actually do it, you just kind of get on with it because you have to.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, you know, she cried. My main fear was like beforehand was like, well, what if, you know, when she cries in the middle of the night and you got to get up and you're tired, it's like, well, she does. You just do it because you don't want your baby crying.
Yeah.
So it's not a hardship. I think I just kind of based it on my feelings towards other people's kids.
Yeah. Or like if just like you're like... there were builders next door and they were like drilling and they woke you up.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. But then I guess if the builders were your builders, you wouldn't care so much.
Yeah. They were turning, you know, your house into some luxury kind
palace.
Of palace. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, fine, go ahead. So let's like just go back a bit. So the last time we spoke, it was about 10 days after the due date.
Yeah.
And then, like, what happened after that?
Well, we were going to be induced sort of the day after.
Right.
Or, sorry, 2 days after we were going to be induced. But the day after we last spoke, Nat was, we were home and Nat started to feel like the baby hadn't moved, like, for quite a while.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that day. And we were a little bit worried. We were like, well... We weren't worried, but we were like, well, you know, the baby doesn't really move that much at night anyway. And this was at like 11 o'clock at night or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, look, let's just, they say, like, if you're feeling like, you know, there's anything out of the ordinary, you should always go in, get it checked out, whatever.
Yeah.
And we'd done this once before and it was fine, you know. So we kind of thought, oh, should we go? But we thought, yeah, we'll go. So we got in a cab, went up there. All the way up there, we're trying to make it move. Back of the flat, we'd like done everything. We'd like played it loud music, which usually gets it going. Nat had drank some water, like cold water, right, which usually gets it going. She'd bounced on her Pilates ball. Nothing was happening. Like there was no movement. So I'm starting to get a little bit worried.
Yeah.
But, you know, because you're thinking like you're nearly there. And you know, so we did start to worry a bit. And then we went up there and they brought us in and they strapped us up to one of the, you know, the monitors that... he can hear the heartbeat, and as soon as she sat down on the bed, we felt it move, and we're like, "For fuck's sake!"
You know.
And then they strapped up, and they were like, "Yeah, you've got to be on this for like an hour." And we're like, "So we were listening to the heartbeat for an hour, just sitting there like midnight or whatever." We're like, "God, this is a massive waste of time," but at least we knew, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, the doctor came down, and she was. She's a bit annoying, actually, because she said to us, she was like, oh, right, well, you know, you've sort of, what I suggest you do now is come and be induced.
Yeah, right.
In the labor ward.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, no, because if we do that, we're kind of like, I don't know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning now.
Oh, yeah, so you were like, we're going to set in for like a really long... You won't have slept for basically like 48 hours or something.
Exactly. So we're like, so I said, no, well, hang on a second. Do we need to do this? And she was like, she said, you can go home and come. I said, well, look, we're booked in for like 11:30 tomorrow morning to be induced. Why don't we just go home, come back at 11:30? And that was the thing. She was also like, oh, we could go up there now, but you might be waiting for a few hours. I was like, fuck this. Let's just go home, get some sleep, come back in the morning, get induced, bang, we're on. And so she was like, yeah, okay, fine. But you probably won't be able to use the birthing center. And we were like, oh, why not? She went, because now you've come in twice, you're now high risk. And I think that's bollocks, because they always tell everyone to kind of like, if you feel like there's a problem, you should come in. But they don't say, but if you come in twice... you're then seen as high risk.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't like based on any actual medical issue. That was just based on you being like worried.
A little bit worried.
Which is, you know, it's to do with you guys rather than like the baby or anything like that.
And they always encourage you to kind of just, you know.
That's silly.
Yeah.
That's got to be some like stupid, like directive.
Yeah.
Like, you know, box ticking kind of thing.
I think it is. And I think she was a student doctor as well.
Oh, what a fucking moron.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I shouldn't say that. No, they do a great job.
Yeah, read up.
Yeah, exactly. We can't afford to have these people training to be in the NHS. We need doctors
that, now.
Yeah, trained doctors.
Yeah.
But not ones from outside of the UK, obviously, because they're bad.
So I didn't say that.
Right.
I said, we're going home. So I was like, okay, cool. So we went home. And I said to the woman, I said, oh, tomorrow when we come in, do we need to bring our hospital bags? You know? And she was like, yeah, bring them. And I was a little bit like, oh, this is really, this whole, as I think I said before, this whole induction thing is a little bit of an anticlimax, because you want to get that call being like, I'm in labor, come now. And then you forget stuff and you run up there and blah, blah, blah. So it's all a bit clinical. Anyway, next morning we go up there and we bring our bags in. And the first thing the midwife says to us was like, why have you brought your bags in? We're like, well, because of the induction. She went, yeah, but you're going home straight after this. And we're like, oh, but we were told. Anyway, basically the doctor from before knew fuck all. And yeah, and so we went up there looking like mugs with our hospital bags just to get an induction. So we got induced with this thing called a pessary, which is like a tampon, and it kind of goes up there and then they say goes up there and then they say
the vajuju.
Yeah and then you're supposed to wait. And they say, if nothing's happened, come back in 24 hours.
Yeah.
And that was basically like, so we'll see you in 24 hours. Because blatantly, nothing's going to happen. The way this pregnancy is going, nothing's going to happen. And surprise, surprise, nothing happened. So we were back the next day, 24 hours later, with our hospital bags again. And basically got there on the hottest day of the year and they had no room for us. So they had to put us in a waiting room.
What?
Well, they said, basically, we can't induce you now, because if we induce you now, because basically this next stage of inducing is like a lot more aggressive.
Right. That's when the drugs are involved or something, is that?
It's kind of like a gel that they kind of, it's not the one which the hormonal one.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which the hormonal one apparently is like militant.
Yeah, no, yeah. Because that's what that's from like the stories that I've heard, that's like the kind of, that seemed to me like the main kind of thing, that the thing that they go to first. They're just like, right, stick that in.
Get it out of you.
Get it. And it just like, it just brings on really powerful contractions right away.
No, this is like a step before that.
Right, okay. Well, it's good. You want that because you don't really want to have that horrible drug.
That's it. Exactly. So we were like, okay, cool. But there was no TV. It was just this hottest waiting room. We had a fan, a chair, a bed, and a Pilates ball. We had Wi-Fi, so I went home and got the laptop to watch Netflix.
So you, I mean, that's obviously quite good, but I'm surprised you didn't take Bad Dad's advice and download Football Manager onto your phone.
I thought about it. I definitely thought about it, but at the same time,
it's a bit like,
yeah. And unfair. I just think if I had done that, I would have gone down some sort of rabbit hole and I wouldn't even be here now. I'd be like managing sort of like Celta Vigo in like 2040. I'd have got, like, really tied up.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. No,
everything's wrong with that.
I get far too addicted to that game, so I can't do it. But so we realised we were in there for a while because there was no labour ward. But basically, the reason that they kept us was because there's no labour ward and they do a one-on-one service. So if things had kicked off with Nat, they wouldn't have had room for her in the labour ward. So they're like, we don't want to risk it now.
You're right, yeah.
So it got to midnight before Nat was induced. So we'd been there over 12 hours just sitting in this baking room, and they induced her with this gel up the old and I watched it happen.
Wow.
From the side.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And then I got quite sleepy.
Right.
And I said to Nat, can we share this double bed? Did you share the double bed? Did you share, sorry, double bed, as if single bed.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say.
Yeah.
No.
You slept on the chair?
We were only there for like one night, luckily.
Right.
But yeah, no, I went home. Yeah, I went home.
Yeah.
I went home because I was just like, it's either basically this chair or the floor, and I'm not going to sleep well on either. Yeah. So I might as well go and get some rest. Because the next day I knew there was going to be loads of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Alice was there. We didn't both need to be there.
No, totally.
So I thought it made sense to get some rest.
Yeah. Well, I thought it made sense to get some rest as well. For both of us, because this chair was, as you know, super uncomfortable. It was either that or the floor. So I suggested to Nat, oh, come on, I'll spoon you on it. And I maybe didn't take into consideration that a pregnant woman who's just been induced probably doesn't want to be spooned all that much.
No.
So anyway, so it got to about 3 in the morning and Nat wakes me up and it's like, you need to get out.
And it's like really hot still, right?
Yeah, really hot. And I'm 6'5". And so Nat says, right, you've got to get out. I think I'm starting to feel something. I was like, really? She's like, I called bullshit at first. I was like, no way. And she said, yeah. So Nat tells this story like I'm the grumpiest man in the world when she told me to do that. And I think there's an element of truth in that. I wasn't happy about having to leave this bed. And I went and sat on this really uncomfortable chair while Nat slept. And I just remember, I couldn't sleep. And I just remember looking at this bed thinking, there is plenty of room for me on that.
Yeah.
There is. And it was like looking at a water slide on a hot day and not being allowed onto it. And just going, or like looking down a bus lane when you're in traffic thinking, I need it. And so I got back in bed. And that woke me up at like about half an hour later saying, Jay, you really need to get out. And again, I got more grumpy. And then Nat said, do you know what? I'll sit on the chair and you sleep in the bed. And I was like, okay, fine. So I ended up
sleeping in the bed. Wow.
For about 10 minutes. And then Nat woke me up and went, I'm going for a walk and I'm going to go. And she told me where she was going to go in the hospital. And I calculated in my mind, I thought, okay, that for me is a 10 minute walk. Then she's going to be there for about 15 minutes. And then it's a 10-minute walk back. That's at least half an hour. I can get some sleep in this bed for half an hour. The right answer would have been, I'll come with you. But I decided to stay. And then Nat came back about 10 minutes later. Couldn't do it. With the contractions seemingly getting worse. And again, instead of getting up, I suggested we top and tailed. So we did that for a bit. And then Nat basically went, get the fuck out of the bed. I'm having contractions. So I was like, okay, cool. And the contractions weren't that seemingly weren't that bad at that time, but it got to about 6 o'clock in the morning. The midwives came in and examined her, and she'd gone up from 1 centimeter to 2 centimeters. So we're like, okay, stuff's happening.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to go out and get some food. Came back, and that was like starting to be in real serious pain.
At what time was this then?
About 7 in the morning.
7 in the morning. Okay. Yeah.
So it kind of accelerated quite quickly.
Yeah.
And then it went from like 0 to 60. In the space of like an hour. And that was in serious, serious pain. So I'm there putting the TENS machine on her. Good advice, by the way, to get the TENS machine. Really good.
It is quite good. Yeah.
Really good. And then we got the gas and air going on. And Nat was immediately sick after it. Like violently sick.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently it does do that. The gas and air kind of makes you quite nauseous. And so I'm calling in the doctors. And then I had a moment like... which was when Nat started to get into serious pain, where I kind of thought, what if she dies during...
Jamie.
Don't roll your eyes at me.
That's so morbid.
I know, but I generally thought that. I thought, like, please don't die. I don't think I could do this.
I'm not ready to be a
single dad. Yeah. And then I sat down and took some gas and air and calmed myself down.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And then Nat was like, after about... You know, she's in serious pain, giving her massages, doing all the things that I've been told to do. And then that was like, I need to go to the toilet, but I need a hand. I need help.
Right.
So I ran out the room down to the midwife station going, she needs to go to the toilet and she needs help. And they just looked at me and went, can you not do that? I was like, yes, probably. I probably can. So I run back and have to help her to the toilet. And she can hardly walk by this point. And then she's calling for like epidural and all this kind of stuff. So they're just like, right, get her down to the labour ward right now. And I'm like, oh, what about the birthing centre? She's like, no, because she wants epidural.
How sort of vociferously was she like wanting the epidural?
No, she was all right. Because she was just sort of saying, this is a lot of pain. Like, I'm in a shit ton of pain.
Okay. Jamie's being careful not to say anything that he can
no,
get
I think...
He remembers like when I got like called out after my birth story.
That's true.
I was going to ask you, because one of the other things that Bad Dad was talking about is whatever is seen can't be unseen.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean...
No, I think... Do you know what? I think I'd already been prepared for that from the NCT classes.
Right, okay.
You know, I was wondering why they showed us those big pictures.
Yeah.
And now I think I get it.
Right,
because nothing is going to be worse than that.
Right.
And nothing was worse than that. I'm telling you that now. It was like walk in the park compared to those pictures. Like, those pictures were fucking horrendous.
So, yeah, it seemed like a bad idea, but...
Yeah.
Excellent.
Pictures of babies... heads hanging out of women's backsides at like extreme close-up is a good way to prepare men for birth, I think. Even though it seemed unnecessary at the time, I get it now. So anyway, she put in a wheelchair, taken down to labor ward, and put in a room. And do you know what? The room was all right. It had one of those big baths, didn't have a TV, was a bit more clinical, had like loads of apparatus around. It didn't feel like a hotel room, which the birthing center did.
Yeah.
And it was fucking hot as well. So we get in there and we meet the nicest midwife in the world, a woman called Janelle Prince. And she was our savior. She was from Trinidad. And she was the most chilled woman in the world. Like, you know, that would be, you know, going through these contractions that were really getting really intense, like really intense. And she'd just be there going, no, you're doing fine. You're doing fine. Look, you're doing, don't worry about it. You're good. You're good. And then we'd disappear for like 10 minutes, like doing paperwork or whatever. And it just kind of like chilled us out a little bit.
Yeah.
So I put on our playlist.
Because you were freaking out.
I was freaking out.
Right, yeah.
I was freaking out. That was okay.
Well done, Janelle.
Yeah, yeah. She smashed it. And we put on a playlist, the one we had, like 9 hours of Spotify playlist on shuffle. This is important for later, why I'm telling you this. And then that's, they're getting more and more into, like, to the point where she's screaming at them. Like, and I'm there kind of going, you know, remember your breathing, being really unhelpful. Yeah, remember your breathing, remember. Yeah. Which I say was unhelpful, was because, do you know what? This is my theory on the TENS machine and gas and air. The TENS machine, I think, okay, they say it confuses the signals to your brain and all that. But at the same time, what I think it does, because you have got a little button on it that, that she can press, which makes it more intense.
Yeah.
And then you press it again, it's less intense. And I think just being in control of something mentally really helps, would help her and helped her. Being in control of, like, every time there's a contraction, you're supposed to press the button. And then when it stops, you press the button again. Yeah. So I think just having something that she could control.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Was really good. And then the gas and air, I think, more than anything, I think maybe it took the edge off the pain a bit, but marginally.
Well, they say that it doesn't. They say that it is basically mainly about distraction.
It's about distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also it puts you in a bit of a meditative state.
Yeah.
That you kind of just focus on your breathing. Because when that focused on her breathing, on like the big breaths in, big breaths out, you could see her calm down quite a bit. And it was only when she panicked and would like get rid of the gas and air and be a bit panicky that it was really getting intense. As soon as she put it back in her mouth and kind of got back into the breathing, I think it helped. So I think that was good. And then Nat said, I think I need to push. And Janelle again was like, okay, well, cool. Okay, let's do this then, and start getting everything ready. And was like, all right, when you need to push, you just start pushing. And then Nat like went into that kind of like screaming every obscenity, like properly going for it sort of thing, like loud, to the point where I was like, okay, does it need to be that loud? this is, you know, keep it down a bit. I didn't actually say that, obviously, because I'm not a fucking moron. But and then Janelle said, okay, well, listen, she was pushing, and we could start to see the head like coming through. And I was a bit like, and I was up at Nat's end, but you know, I could see everything. Like, I didn't have to go down that end to see, because she was kind of like half sitting up or whatever. And I could see the head, like the top of the head coming through. And I was like, okay, this is getting quite real now. And then she pushed for another like 20 minutes. And then Janelle said, okay, look, when I say stop pushing. And she said it. She not pushed. She said it. And then out came the baby. Like literally, like it wasn't like a head for ages, then shoulders. It was literally just like straight out. Woo! All in one. Like, woo. And it was purple. The baby was purple. And I didn't know what to... I was like, oh, it's a baby. There's a baby right there. And I couldn't get my head around it. And then she picked it up, gave it to Nat immediately. And Nat went, oh my God, it's a baby. And then we both looked at each other and went, what is it? Because we didn't know. And we just looked. And so we all looked, because we just forgot. I think I did see, but just didn't register it. Just didn't think. I was just so much like, oh my God, there's a fucking baby lying there. Cried. It screamed straight away. And then we looked at it. It was a girl. I need my girl. I need my girl. A little girl, even though we were convinced it would be a boy.
Wee!
Yeah. So, but the weird thing was, as I said, we had a shuffle playlist going on,
And, yeah, I was going to say.
And the tune, as she was born, and I was skipping tunes. I didn't look at what I was skipping into because it was on shuffle, and I was skipping because Ellie Goulding came on at one point.
Right.
And I was like, uh-uh.
No.
My baby is not being born to Ellie Goulding. No way. So I skipped it a couple of times. And then the Nationals' I Need My Girl came on as she was born. And I was like, ah, that's weird. It's a girl. And then we're holding her. And we're holding her. And I'm like, I'd gone to bits a little bit. I was like, you did it. I was getting a bit emotional. And then another song, I can't remember what song it was, whilst we were kind of being all a bit like... And then I turned to Nat and I went, so the name we had from the start was for a girl, was Matilda.
Right.
And we'd never really found anything we liked more than that. So I said to Nat, I was like, so... And as we were convinced it was a boy... We'd had loads of like conversations about a boy's name. So I went, oh, so I guess we're going to call her Matilda then. And she went, I guess, I don't know. Like, maybe. I went, well, let's think about it for a bit.
Yeah.
As I said that, Alt J's Matilda came on the shuffle.
And she needs you. This is for Matilda. And she needs you. This is for Matilda.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, like, no lie. It wasn't like three songs later. It was that song, Matilda, came on.
You don't have a choice then, do you?
And I just looked at Nat, and I had to sit down. I was like, that's too weird. And I said to Nat, I went, well, that's...
And how many songs were there on the playlist?
There was like 9 hours of songs.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, and we've been through like 2 hours of it. And I turned to Nat, I went, well, that's that then, right? So, yeah, and she said, yeah, I guess so.
Oh, well, to be... It's a great name. So, like, it's not like you were stuck with... I could think... Like Roxanne or something like that.
Yeah, and to be fair, we'd put the tune on the playlist because we'd like the
we like the
name, you know, and the song. But for it to come on right then was a bit weird. So we called her Matilda India Tucker. During the contractions, I said to Nat, I was like, well, we won't be doing this again, will we? And she went, no way are we doing this again. No fucking way. I was like, okay, cool. And then, no joke, about 2 minutes after she was born, Nat went, I don't think it was actually that bad. I didn't find it like, but LOL. You know, it goes back to, but it goes back to what we were saying with Will, that, you know, there's rush of endorphins and all that, like, do take over. And that was like immediately, like, she was in hysterics. She was laughing, you know, just, you wouldn't have thought she'd gone through what she'd just gone through.
Yeah. But you, of course, were a broken man.
Mate, I was like holding her, just looking at her. All I could say when Matilda was born and we were both holding her within like the first couple of minutes, all I could say would look at her was like, who are you? Who are you?
Yeah.
I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't get it through. I didn't understand what she was and who she was, and I just...
Well, it'll take a while for you to work out who she is.
That's true. I still don't know, but I'm getting used to it. But then about 10 minutes after, and a woman from another room was giving birth and screaming the house down. Probably not as bad. I mean, I'd say on a par with Nat,
right?
But Nat was swearing, but like really loud. And Nat turns to me and she's like, all right, love, calm down. Keep it down in there. I was like, are you kidding me?
I love it.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a weird place to be like chilling afterwards. And I say chilling, Nat was being stitched up. Yeah, it's massively overwhelming. Like I was, you know, you can prepare for it and say you're going to, you know, this is what I'm going to think. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to say. And that all goes out of the flipping window. You're like, you just sort of, I did get choked up and I didn't actually cry, which I thought I would, even though, and Nat has this whole joke about she's never seen me cry,
right? Yeah.
And I got teared up and I like definitely like got red-eyed and water, and Nat didn't even bloody look at me. And I was like, that was your moment to see. If you'd looked at me,
you should have just been like, look, look, point at your eyes or taking a picture.
Yeah, I didn't. I that was my moment.
Maybe
to prove
cry.
That I'm not like a heart of ice, you know. I kind of got quite emotional when I phoned my parents to tell them that she'd been born.
Right, yeah.
Because like, I phoned my mum and she didn't answer. I phoned my dad And I had that standard, like, you're right? Yeah. How are you doing? And then he was like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, just, you know, this, that. I was like, is that how you're doing? I was like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, just at a hospital now. And then I suddenly realized I need to say, so we've had a baby. And I didn't really know.
Yeah, how do you, what are the words?
I just kind of went, so I have some news. And yeah, and I got a bit choked up saying that. Because that's the first time you're going to go, we had a girl. And that's the first time you kind of like say it out loud, really.
Yeah. Just sum up like how you kind of feel.
I feel now like it's an odd one because at the time of the birth, there's nothing, I can't put into words what it's like to see your child enter the world. That moment when you go from not being a dad to suddenly having this, it's not even not being a dad. It's just we've waited so long for her to arrive. And then suddenly there she is lying like a foot away from me.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what do I do with this information? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't really.
It's hard to pro. Yeah. It's,
I can't.
It's mind boggling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's like just the most incredible thing that you can probably witness.
Yeah.
A miracle of like life.
Yeah.
And just unfold, like, you know, obviously it's been going on through the whole process, but that's the moment where you kind of really see like what it's all about.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre. It's amazing. And like, Nat, I mean, to do the whole thing on just gas and air and TENS machine, like, I couldn't have done it. I'm just in complete awe of her and what she did. Like, 9 hours of intense pain, just amazing. I'm kind of lost for words. I try, you try and write it down when you kind of like tell people about it, but no words could really ever do justice to the love I had for her in that, you know, always, but in that moment. And it's just, it's incredible, really. Like, yeah. you can't really put it into words, I guess.
I think you are slightly cracking. And how is that now?
Yeah, really, like, taken to it, like, a duck to water, like, really just.
She's physically, she recovered.
Yeah, totally. Everyone said to me, like, paternity leave wouldn't be a holiday. And it kind of was, to say. It was cool. It was just the three of us kicking it in the flat, and then we'd go out. Like, Nat's just got on with it and, like, really smashed it out of the park, really. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
In just the fact of being a dad, having people come round, seeing people, waking up every morning and, seeing your daughter. It's amazing, really. But yeah, it's been a trip, man. It's been an absolute ride, and it's crazy. And I managed to play golf a couple of times during the paternity leave as well. So,
awesome!
What a touch.
And did you replicate your amazing round?
I came close to it.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. So I beat Bad Dad.
That's anything that matters.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's been a trip, and it's been crazy, and amazing, really. And I can't quite believe that I'm a dad. I've joined the club. 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 Club.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.